Before we get started, I want to say that my usual co-star is still not here, but I do have the same fill-in from last week, and I think she's doing a pretty great job. So, as always, we are going to be giving away a movie with each episode. Last week we gave away a copy of Logan. This week, I don't know what we're going to give away. It'll be something very Princess Bride-ish, I feel. There are four different ways you can try to get into that giveaway. The first one is to leave us a review on iTunes. Lots of stars helps, but I'm not going to bribe. You can't bribe me with stars. So don't give five stars and be like, haha, I gave five stars, so now I'm definitely going to get a movie. That's not a thing. But I will still appreciate every star we get. The second way is on Twitter. Just leave me a comment. You can follow us at @filk_this. You can send us an email requesting a movie. If we use your request, we'll totally actually send you another movie for that, because that just gets you one anyway. So that wouldn't even count as getting this week's movie. We would totally give you another one anyway. But the email is contactfilk@gmail.com. No spaces, no periods, no anything like that. We're also on Instagram @filkyourself. So get over there and filk yourself to your heart's content. Okay, you kids ready to start the episode? 5, 4, 3, 2... Howdy, I'm Dr. Fraser Crane. This is Roz.
Marriage! Marriage is what brings us together today.
That's true. And you are listening to 555 Filk.
That's great.
So this week, we totally are watching The Princess Bride. Somebody around here, I'm not sure, thinks it's like the best movie ever.
This girl over here.
You totally pointed.
I love this movie. This is my favorite movie.
I know I like this movie. I get it mixed up with three other movies because I watch them all at once. We've gone over this whole thing. Most of what I love about this movie, I remember from Baron Munchausen and The NeverEnding Story. So, like, when I rewatch this, I was like, oh, yeah, this one's Princess Bride.
So you remember parts from Baron Munchausen as this movie, or you remember parts of this movie in Baron Munchausen?
I remember Munchausen in this. So, like, one of his friends has a thing, mm-hmm. and I definitely remember him meeting up with Andre and Inigo and the other one. So I totally remember them like talking to each other. They're not even in the same movie. Yeah, not even a little bit.
You just have crazy dreams.
Yes.
You just smush them all together.
Beginning of this movie.
It's a little slow, but I think it's cute. It works well from the book perspective. It's a lot better than the way the book opens.
Okay. What? Okay.
Never mind.
No, it's too late. So, you've gone on this where you told me it's a book. It's a great book. You like the book better, but only because you like the movie, or back with that?
Only because I like the movie. This is a book I don't think I could read if I hadn't watched the movie first. It gets really dry and slow. It cuts away from the actual story of The Princess Bride and has a bunch of little side stories.
So I was reading about that because you mentioned it.
Okay.
This book that is now a movie you love is just, what's the guy's name who wrote the book?
S.R. Morgenstern, but he's not really the author.
That's the one William who wrote the real one.
The real one. We're putting quotes around that.
So the real one. And then William Goldman
did the abridged version.
He calls it just the good parts.
Yeah.
That's the way he said it.
Yes, that's exactly how it's written quite a few times in the book.
And whenever the grandpa interjects, it's because he was like, here's what I thought about this part. So I guess in the real version, finger quotes, it got boring and he was just like, nah.
Apparently it's like a history book.
Yeah.
And then like somehow the Princess Bride story is in this book. So, like, he cuts out parts of those, which get boring, which would have been boring. Like, there's a whole segment where he goes, they talked about trees for this part. And then he kind of summarizes what they were doing talking about trees, even though he says it's boring. And then other parts, it's like him interjecting that he knows Stephen King and that Stephen King is working on, they're like frenemies. So Stephen King is working on the sequel because the publishers don't want him to do the sequel. And a bunch of other,
fantastic,
like, really random stories.
I'm
like,
have to read this
in,
book.
You can borrow it.
I do really like that good. It's like, so, like, a book that you like, or a movie that you love, is based on a book that you like that is based on a book that this guy liked.
Apparently. I don't think the actual book is real. Because it makes Florin out to be a real place, and it's not.
Maybe it's just not anymore. Istanbul was Constantinople.
No, it can't be real, because there are definitely parts where Goldman interjects and says, you know, this is before glamour, but after, or before makeup, but after glamour, and, like, other random stuff that don't actually add up in time.
Okay.
You have to read it.
I'm going to have to read this.
But definitely watch the movie first if you haven't.
Watched this movie.
I know you haven't. I mean, like, who's listening?
If you're listening to this and you haven't seen this movie, shame on you, first of all. So when I'm a kid, right, the only parts I love are the Fred Savage slash Grandpa parts, and then pretty much just the Cliffs of Insanity. And then the rest of the movie, I don't care.
Really?
I still watching it, same. I don't care about Buttercup. I don't care about Wesley even a little bit. I have no, like, lock or whatever to do with them. I don't care.
True love. The story of true love?
I don't feel like it was a story of true love. He was into her because he thought she was hot. She was into him because he's a farm boy, and I get it. Dude was gorgeous. But, like, come on now.
They had the perfect kiss. It was purer than any kiss before that.
That's called lust.
Pure. And they were, pure.
And they were young enough where it's like, it's Romeo and Juliet. That's not romance. That's lust. It's fine. We're all teenagers at some point. I get it. Like, do you think Humperdinck was gay? So while I was digging around for this, everybody in the world thinks he's gay. I never got that.
I never got that vibe, necessarily. More like, not sterile. What's the word? Where you're just not into...
asexual.
Asexual. You're just not into anybody. Because he...
He definitely says whoever.
Yeah. He definitely just wants to hunt. He doesn't want to be a prince and rule. He just wants to go hunting and kill stuff.
So in my head, we've talked about how I don't remember this movie correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely remember him being played by the dude who plays the sheriff on Men in Tights that came up when you were like, I didn't watch Men in Tights because that comedy was a comedy.
I went from this to Men in Tights, okay? It was not what I was expecting.
No, you're fine, and that's fine. So, like, and that's definitely not a sister movie. I think you would dig Baron Munchausen because I feel like that's the same amount. Like, it's definitely silly and it's definitely some bullshit going on, but it's, like, almost believable bullshit, I guess. Still good. Robin Wright in this? Made me not like this movie for a long time.
She does okay, I think, for the character that was written for her.
The weak bits? Is that what you're
That's what I don't like in the fire swamp where she picks up the stick and she totally looks like she's going to swing it like a baseball bat and then she goes, and pokes at the giant rat that's coming at her like a
dog. That thing is still scary.
Right?
Like the third shot of it, I was like, oh, that's a little person in a suit. I thought it was like a puppet. So like there's this terrible horror movie called Zombievers, and it looks like a zombiever, and I was just like, oh my god, this is a zombiever attacking Robin Hood. And Robin Wright's not helping. Jenny Gump, help him. She's Jenny Gump, too.
I didn't know that until recently.
She's so scary on House of Cards. She's amazing.
Apparently I need to watch House of Cards, because like everybody...
House of Cards is going to depress you.
Is it?
It's too real right now.
Ooh, that's not good.
It has Kevin Spacey playing Hillary Clinton, and Robin Wright playing Hillary Clinton. Very scary.
So two Hillary Clintons?
Yes.
And I.
But one of them likes Xbox.
One of them likes Xbox. And the other likes Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
No, but I thought Robin Wright's facial expressions were really good. I think that was more where her better acting was. She conveys a lot.
I don't remember her being a peasant until, like, now, where they were like, she just got chosen to be a princess, whatever. You're fine,
She's a peasant for a very short time.
Right, right. So, but like when I saw her, I was like, she doesn't look like a princess until she has the big crazy crown thing.
Even that, I don't like the dresses that they picked for her.
Right, but at least it looks like a princess dress to me. But I also assume princesses look exactly like Cinderella.
What was it? When she describes his eyes, they're like a sea after a storm or whatever. She totally pauses and you can kind of see her like reminiscing and then she comes back to it at just the right time, I think. Because it's almost like she forgot her line.
You have to leave
the
two beats.
Yeah, it's almost like she forgot her line and then she pulls it back and she's awesome.
No, and I think she did fine. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, she doesn't look like a princess.
Because she's not really a princess.
Right.
So.
Well, now I know. Mm-hmm. Knowing is half the battle. Also joining us is Bulldog. Bulldog, come on in.
Who did you say you were in the beginning?
Dr. Fraser Crane.
Seriously?
And you were Roz.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
I totally
you were so You were so ready to be like,
to say.
We were watching this movie, but we were not reading the book because the book is the way we is.
The book sucks, guys. Don't read. Don't read.
No.
She's telling
read.
You. No, that's what you said.
So, okay. So this book that's totally not a kissing book, but it's absolutely a kissing book. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with this kid. He's like 7 years old, and the whole time I'm like, ugh, more of this. I don't need either of them. I love The Man in the Mask.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything about... We're going to just call them the Bandits. I don't know what you want. What are they called? They have a name?
Inigo and Fezzik and Dazini. They're mercenaries?
The Three Amigos. I love them.
That works. I think An Ego Story, honestly, is one of my favorites, and I wish that they would have pulled more of that from the book into this. I think he's got a
Do they good fully story. Get, like, stories in the book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. An Ego's backstory in the book is, like, way better. It's, like, way more involved. And
so I have a thing here where mm-hmm. I want a movie of just those three.
That would be awesome.
That would be way better it's than way the Princess Bride.
Now, I wish, but
I mean, you can't do it now.
I think having done their story and then, like, they kind of run into, you know, the Man in Black and the princess and everything like that would have been, like, a more interesting story, like a happy I think accident. We need, like, oh, hey, we ran into these people, and hey, I need you to plan my, you know, castle onslaught.
Yeah.
We need more, like, there needs to be more, like, Wesley story as it pertains to the Dread Pirate Roberts.
That's what, like, that he kind of brushes good. Over. He's like, well, I adopted this name, some guy adopted it, and they adopted
he
it, whatever.
He kept running to kill me every night. He'd be like, okay, Wesley, I'll probably kill you in the morning. But
so to me, Carrie Robin Hood, mm-hmm. he plays three characters in this movie, but we only see two. We see, well, add one to that. So we have him as a farm boy. We mm-hmm. hear about the Dread Pirate. Yep. The man in the mask, I feel like, is a completely different person than Dread Pirate, because that guy's not a pirate. That guy's okay. like Zorro. And then at the end, he's, like, lover boy.
Okay.
But he explains okay. to Inigo, like, why he's wearing the mask. Like, yeah. the mask is part of the mystique of Dread Pirate Roberts.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get that, but that's not a pirate. He doesn't have a pirate sword. He has a Zorro sword.
We don't see him doing any pirate things.
Like, or saying, yar.
All we see is, like, his ship shows up chasing.
Well, maybe it's before pirates have.
And that's a boat.
Been described as, you know, saying yar and matey. And
no, it's definitely before it, because that didn't happen until movies.
Right. So Wesley's story is definitely developed a little bit more in the book. Not the Dread Pirate part, but, like, the backstory and why he likes Buttercup and stuff like that is there. Fezzik gets a whole background story. He's a little bit meaner in the book, and I don't like that. So I kind of, like, forget all the mean parts.
Which one's Fezzik?
Andre the Giant.
Exactly. Okay. So I was reading some of the other people they wanted to play him, mm-hmm. or people who wanted to play him. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, they made the right choice.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't have worked.
They wanted Arnold, and he's, like, 6'1".
Have
no.
you seen no. the picture of Andre the Giant, one of his That's other buddy wrestlers, and them holding Arnold? He looks my size. He looks tiny.
Another one was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No thanks. He'd have weighed, like, 8 pounds.
Why? Because he fought Bruce Lee in that one movie? They figured he'd be a formidable threat? No. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. I love the line from Andre where he goes, I don't even exercise, because that's, like, a true line of Andre the Giant.
And I was reading, too, while we're on, like, Andre himself, mm-hmm. he couldn't actually carry anything heavy, so every time they were doing this, there was wires holding up, like, Buttercup or whatever. Mm-hmm. Other than when they're climbing, I don't notice it.
Yeah, that's, like, the only time, and I didn't notice that the first time around. I don't think I was too busy just following the story.
And I only noticed totally it now because, like, of Mandy Patinkin.
Going really, really fast.
But I'm fine,
like,
with
otherwise
that.
Otherwise, he's really slow, and that's kind of funny to me. But then I just kind of put it in my head, like, no, if Vizina yelled at him, so now he's going faster. That's all.
I'm fine with that. I have no problem with him going fast.
Well, and, like, what she was saying is, like, Fezzik's story in the book, it, like, actually goes back to, like, when he was at the circus and they made him wrestle bears, and then, like, when bears weren't enough, then he'd be, like, two guys, and then mm-hmm. he fought, like, 10 guys for as, like, a sideshow attraction at the circus because he was a giant. Mm-hmm.
He also said on this set, it's the only time where people never, like, stared up at him in awe the entire time because everybody was playing, like, these crazy characters and everyone was really well known and, like, everybody just treated him like a person. And
That's
I like
cool.
that. I like that a
That's
lot.
That's really cool. Going back to the book real quick with Fezzik's story, part of, like, he was a big kid, you know, growing up, so he was bullied and picked on, and so his parents got him into fighting because he's just this big, massive person. So he's little, like, in the head, like, he's young in the mind,
right.
whatever, so to get him to fight, he didn't want to fight, they would threaten to leave him. So the line in the movie when Vizzini says, do you want to go back to where you're from, to go back to Greenland where you were unemployed and alone, it's a threat because Fezzik does not want to be
And they
alone.
Actually, like, they wound up leaving him for real.
And he does
Which is
play.
How he wound up in the circus, like, fighting, like, bears and, like,
bitty
men.
So this is another thing I don't like about that, and you guys are tying it in. So these three are supposed to be, like, the best of the best, and they're, like, this team or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. This man in black, who fine, he's the best sword fighter in the world. But, like, dude loses a fight, and then that's it. And then Andre the Giant, he gets knocked out, and then that's just that. We never see them again, and the other one dies, but he had it coming.
What do you mean you never see him again? They come back into the movie.
Yeah, but, like, not for real. Like, not the way I need them to.
How do you want them to be in the movie?
I want them to be the entire movie.
They come back relatively quickly.
I know, but I feel like they were just like, well, he bested us, and therefore, friends.
Well, like, really, the only
way too quickly.
He needs him to plant his castle on site. His revenge against his father is more important than, hey, he beat me.
Well, and aside from Vecini dying, the only one that, like, the loss to the Man in Black really affected was Inigo, because then he's, like, slipped into a depression about how he failed
his father. Which is fantastic. And started
drinking, because Fezzik joined the Brute Squad.
Yeah.
Like, Fezzik's the one that finds Inigo, like, passed out drunk. Like,
right, but I don't know. I feel like, and I know it's a story, and I definitely know it's a fantasy story, but I don't know. I feel like I would have liked them to be like, hey, since he took us out one-on-one, maybe let's gang up on him and just take him out.
It was the honorable thing. Like, that's why, like, honestly. When...
Yeah, but they're thieves and whatnot.
Yeah, but that's why...
But they're like, not really but thieves.
So is the Man in Black, technically. He's a pirate. But he doesn't kill Inigo, which he would have had every right to kill Inigo at the end of that sword fight.
That's inconceivable. He doesn't kill Fezzini. Fezzini kills himself.
Well,
he gets tricked into it.
He puts the poison in it.
Dude drank it. He didn't have a gun to his head.
It was a battle of wills.
Battle of wits.
Wills.
Wits.
Wills.
It's wits. It's a battle of wits.
It's wits as far as.
No, I understand that it's called that, but it's absolutely wills because dude spent years making this
building up immune to that.
Yeah. So it absolutely wills. And he could have, like, he reaches over, he switches this, he does that. He didn't have to drink it. He saw the other dude drink it. Just wait a second.
But both of them are poisoned.
So Iocane's not real, right?
But they're...
Not to my knowledge.
No, I'm telling you. It's not real.
Well, okay. I mean, most everything but in the story is made up.
Right, right. No, and that's cool. What's the Man in Black say when he's like, this is Iocane powder?
It's odorless, tasteless, and it's from Australia.
And then later, we see Humperdinck smell it and goes, Iocane. This is Iocane powder.
Because he can't smell it.
What?
Nothing there to smell.
Okay.
It's the only odorless and tasteless poison.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing. That's not a thing.
They know of. Like, it's...
The Battle of Wits made me think of playing werewolf.
Yes.
100%.
It's totally that.
Yeah. Or any bluffing game, but exactly werewolf. If
there wasn't already a Battle of Wits game, I would have named my game that.
Yep. Can I... Just, I'm looking at my notes over here. Mm-hmm. A couple of things behind the scenes that I feel like if you don't know them, you're going to love it or hate it.
Okay.
Buttercup and the farm boy actually had crushes on each other, like, real hard.
Aww.
And I think that helped what you're saying, where she's, like, looking at his eyes and making the little comments.
Mm-hmm.
So they would totally mess up scenes so that they could stay working together. Aww. So, like, their last thing, it was a big kiss scene. And they messed it up on purpose, and or they'd be like, I think I sneezed at the end of that. And they're like, you didn't sneeze. They're like, I'm pretty sure I sneezed. Let's shoot it again. So, like, they delayed it, like, a couple hours.
That's kind of adorable.
It's very adorable. It's Mandy Patinkin's favorite role he ever took was Inigo Montoya.
I mean, that was the first time I ever heard his name. I'm sure he had done other stuff before that, but, like, especially when you're, like, a little kid, because I saw this, it came out in, what, like, 87. Mm-hmm. So I was 7 years old when this movie came out, and I think I was maybe 12 or 13 before I actually saw it. So, like, I had never heard of Mandy Patinkin, and then, like, it's one of those things where, like, once you see somebody and you learn their name, they're in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, oh my god, this
dude is Rube.
Like, everything.
Or you only know him as one character.
Rube. So he'll
always be Rube for you. And
like,
Humperdinck.
Like, I have never seen that dude in anything else. But if I did.
What did we say he is? What I know him from?
Well, and you yesterday, when we were talking about Cary Elwes, like, you didn't know what else he was
this
in.
This is
like,
the only movie I know him from.
He's 100% to me, he is Robin Hood before anything else.
Yeah, but we can't talk about that because somebody has refused. To watch
he's Jack
movie.
Skellington.
I haven't refused. I'll rewatch it. I'll try. Humperdinck Jack was? Skellington. That's right.
Huh.
And he's the cop on Child's Play.
Huh.
And he's Count Dracula on the new Ninja Turtles? Shut up. So there's two actresses. One was the dream buttercup. Oh my god, can we please get this woman?
Okay.
And then the other one was somebody who's like, I really want this part, and she campaigned really hard to get it, and she didn't get it. So the one who is the dream, Carrie Fisher. How would you have felt with Carrie Fisher as Buttercup?
I don't love her voice.
Where in her career was Carrie Fisher?
This would have been a year before The Burbs.
Were they going to dye her hair?
Probably. So, like, she was still hot. I mean, if that's where you're
gauging. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with it, because, like...
No, she was gorgeous in the late 80s.
Like,
true story.
Because, like, Carrie Fisher coming out of Jedi...
She kind of went off the rails. So it was like Jedi, a couple of small movies, this, The Burbs.
Okay.
And The Burbs, I feel like she really hit her second stride. It was like this and The Man with One Red Shoe would have been like same time.
But like, she kind of went off the rails.
Yeah, real bad.
Real bad.
She had some drugs. She found drugs. She rewatched Star Wars.
I still can't picture her as Buttercup.
Okay, you ready?
Robin White isn't quite perfect for the role, but I think she did a great job.
Yeah, I would have loved, what's the girl from Sleepless in Seattle?
Meg Ryan,
I think, could have been a good Buttercup.
Okay.
Then Meg Ryan. The end. But the one who campaigned so hard, I need you to picture Buttercup. Okay. Exactly what Buttercup looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg.
No.
What?
No.
What kind of train wreck would this movie be?
This would have been
they could have put
Jumping
her as Valerie
Jack.
Or something.
This would have been Jumping Jack Flash.
She must have really
liked the movie. Theodore Rex.
Why did she want the role so bad?
I don't know. She wanted it. She
this
campaigned
been,
really hard
this
for
This would have
it.
Been Sister Act, but with sword fights.
There's a Broadway show based on Sister Act, and I'm sad Whoopi like never did it. The end. Or going off on stuff. Christopher Guest is in this. Love Christopher Guest. He's one of my favorite writers, favorite directors. He plays the man with six fingers.
Yes, that's why I know the name.
And he was in Spinal Tap, which was directed by Rob Reiner, who also directed this.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, they wanted Rob Reiner, the guy who wrote the book, he wanted Rob Reiner to direct it, but only, Rob Reiner said he'll only do it if he could put his hat that he wore in Spinal Tap in the movie, so it's in the kids' room. And I like that.
Where in the kids' room? Because I've looked at so much stuff in that room.
Well, let's see. His room, I wanted it so bad when I was a kid, especially because
has,
of his
like,
bed.
Everything.
His bed was so cool. Whoops, wrong button.
And like he's in Chicago, ass, like, isn't he? Or at least.
No, it was
a
like.
Chicago he, fan, because there's a Chicago Cubs in there.
Yeah, and I never picked up that it was Christmas time until like yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep,
well,
Christmas
like,
time.
Here's the fun thing about like all these 80s movies is because of. What's his name that did all the like Pretty in Pink and
John Hughes?
Yeah, because of John Hughes, like most all of the movies that came out in the 80s, whether they were John Hughes movies or not, are in like some sort of suburb of Chicago.
Well,
like,
and that's
that
because
area.
That's because Chicago was like it's a big enough city you've heard of it, but it has that Midwest feel, so you can play it like not in the city or in the city. Like I've noticed that it's
so
the
like
same thing you're saying.
Midwest ideals kind of in the city.
Or even just like, so it's Christmas time, we need snow. New York sometimes has snow on Christmas, usually has snow on Christmas, but they don't get like that stupid, like crazy snow like we get here.
Yeah, that would make sense. We get way too much snow here.
Otherwise, it's going to look like mixed nuts and they're rollerblading on Christmas.
Oh, and
have you never seen Spinal Tap?
No, I've not.
Oh my God, you will love it. Especially with the music you love.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you, sure
are you being
too,
sarcastic?
Are you sure it's
no.
not too much of a comedy for her?
It's a comedy.
Okay. I know that going in. That was, like, way beyond a comedy,
okay, but
though.
Now you know
but that's, that
in,
okay,
so.
That kind of a movie is called a spoof.
Okay.
So, like,
so
now...
if I had known that,
right.
I probably wouldn't be like, okay,
so
this is supposed to be...
This is, like, the good version of, like, Scary Movie and all that garbage.
Oh, I love Scary Movie.
Right, right.
The first one.
One and three. I love one and three.
I've only seen it.
But, like, that kind of a movie, this is what's considered, like, their grandfathers.
Doing this.
She said she's only seen three?
Yes. Again.
And maybe five.
We can't keep doing this.
Five is the one with, you saw it because Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, that's the one.
You got a thing. You've got a thing.
Sorry.
That's gross. The jump into the quicksand.
Yeah.
Fully scary to me.
Oh my God.
It's so scary, and I can't figure out how they did it. How'd he go so fast?
It's probably like a trapdoor sort of a thing. I don't know how they
but
kept
the sand is still there.
I don't know how they kept the sand. But
that's
yeah,
what I'm saying. I don't know how they did it, but I'm absolutely impressed with it.
Yeah, it was so scary. And
like,
I love,
it's absolutely
I love
on a race
the
stage.
The ROUS that walks by and is like, what's going on over there? Hmm. Yeah. I'm staying away from that.
That was so scary. It was so scary.
I know someone who was deathly afraid of quicksand because of that movie.
I'm scared of quicksand because of Blazing Saddles, which we've discussed you have not seen.
I'm working on it.
It's on Netflix. Young Frankenstein's so good, but if you've never seen Frankenstein, there's a lot of it there.
I've seen Frankenstein.
The real one?
I've seen a black and white one.
Okay.
And a color one. I've seen a handful.
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein doesn't really count.
It was good, but it's way too close to the book.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, that,
yeah.
What's wrong with the book?
Sometimes
not,
it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it's good to be different from the book for some things. So, like, to me, the monster's way scarier when he doesn't talk. On the other one, he's intelligent. He's just got some problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the version of Frankenstein's monster we all know is the movie version
right.
rather than the book version.
Right.
The book is a great read, but to me, it's a little too close to the book. Okay. And I feel like that's its fault. Like, I like it. It's just, I think that's why people don't like it. It's too close to the book. There's like 1,000 remakes of it. So good. Every time. Except for Dean Koontz's Frankenstein. Holy buckets. Has either of you ever seen Dean Koontz's Frankenstein? It is like legit the 9th worst movie I have ever seen in my life.
What movie?
Yeah, but
Dean Koontz's Frankenstein?
You always say like, oh, this movie was terrible. It's garbage. And I love it.
No, I do love it, but it's terrible.
Yeah, that's your catchphrase though. Like, this movie is terrible,
okay,
but I love
it. Some movies are bad and you have to love them. Like The Room. The Room is easily the worst movie I've ever seen. Love it. I watch it like once every other week. It is garbage. It is hot garbage. I'll bet halfway through the trailer you'd be like, this is not real. There's no way. It's like watching an acid trip. Starring a creepy vampire with a sweet, sweet sparkle? Accent. He thinks he sparkles. So then he used his movie fame to sell really shiny, looks like wrestling pants underpants. It's awful. You guys have got to watch The Room. It's terrible.
Yeah, I think I got better things to waste my time on.
It's important. This is on the list of like movies everybody should watch. The Room is crazy. It's insane. Like the entire time you're like, how is this a movie? Like main characters just stop being in the movie and then later there's just a different guy. Like
play
there's
that
no
character?
Maybe. It's not really explained.
This sounds like The Phone Booth, and that movie was stupid.
The
too.
Phone Booth is like Citizen Kane.
I hate it.
Compared to The Room. The Room is garbage. Like Turtles 3 is like a masterpiece compared to The Room. You've got to see it.
She already thinks that Turtles 3 is a masterpiece.
I know.
And that's
it's a masterpiece of shit.
Time.
Yeah, we've got to do that one. You have to be here for that one. You kind of have to. She's nodding. She's like, yeah. Yeah. This was almost a musical I wrote down.
Really?
And I kind of wish that would have happened. Because maybe that would have made me hate all the kissing scenes a little less.
A musical would have made it better?
Made Beauty and the Beast and the one with Ariel.
All right.
Made all those better.
It would have been a good way for them to like profess their love in a cute way that would have seemed realistic and like,
rather than creepy staring.
Yeah.
There's a lot of creepy staring.
I think part of it is the time frame of a movie. I mean, you've got so much you've got to cram in there versus, you know, a book where you can.
You could Harry Potter and just bang out an extra sequel.
How would a musical have worked?
I don't know.
With the cast. Like
Man, I was going to go so smartass, but then you got there before me.
In your head, with the cast that it had,
yeah.
Do you think any of them can carry a tune? Like, we know Andre
can.
That
might have been funnier, because
Andre
can't sing.
He can't, but that's fine. I was reading how he did his lines, and it, like, broke my heart and made me love him so much. But we're not going to do that, because it's not interesting. He would totally listen to it on cassette. So, like, Rob Reiner would record it, and then he would listen to it, and that's the only way, like, so he wasn't expecting to be able to learn his lines because he had a really hard time with lines, but then he did. But, I mean, yeah, okay, he can't sing or whatever.
Rhymes rhyme.
I love it that he rhymes. I was going to try to do this, rhyming whatever you said, and then, nah.
It's totally in the book written that way, too, and I love it.
There's,
anybody want a peanut?
There's a book that I read when I was a kid where they're like, here's how rhymes work. If a word like red is R-E-D and bed, B-E-D, they rhyme. So then this kid was like, the fire truck started and this, and every word ends with E-D, whether it rhymes or not. And he's like, look, it rhymes because it ends with E-D. And I love that.
Anybody want a peanut?
That's how you wind up with people like Kanye West trying to rhyme career with fur.
Career.
That's
how he says it.
That's what it turned into.
I don't listen to that crap.
I got myself a career so I could buy myself some fur. No, that's not how that works.
No. The Shrieking Eels or Screaming Eels, which is it?
The Shrieking Eels.
Scary. Don't want anything to
do
with water.
They are awesome.
They made me never learn how to swim.
Really?
True story.
But all you gotta do is punch them. You just punch them really hard.
But it's fun. So later on in my life, I found out I'm not afraid of the ocean even a little bit. Real scared of pools.
Really?
Yeah.
I definitely do the other way around. Definitely get nervous of water, like big bodies of water, but pools is totally fine.
I got no problem with big bodies.
Well, like enclosed areas, because you can hopefully if it's clean, you can see.
That's another thing. I found out all you people pee in pools, you bunch of sick bastards.
I don't swim because I'm not putting this.
That means you're peeing into a pool, and that's way worse.
I lay out tan, so.
I'm not just gonna stand around somebody's pool and be like, oh, giant toilet.
When I said. You guys pee in pools. You did not say, no, I don't. You said, I don't swim. Peeing into a pool. lawyered.
Not personal.
Your assumption,
thanks. The eels are not in the book.
Yeah, they were...
the sharks.
Sharks. Which is why I'm fine with the ocean. If a shark gets me, I'll probably die, and that's fine.
You're in its kitchen, so...
Yeah. I got it coming. I'm at his house. You get shot and you're in someone else's house, you have it coming. Pop quiz. All
right.
How many times are there as you wish in this movie?
72.
You?
54.
Seven.
That's it?
That's it.
Huh.
I definitely remember it way more than that,
definitely remember it way more than that.
How many inconceivables?
Way more than seven.
No, because he totally says it on the boat like three times while they're climbing the wall. It's got to be 10 to 15 if it's more than seven. There's not a lot.
Five.
Told you. See, I was right with seven. Close.
I was right with seven.
You said 10 to 15.
We're playing Price is Right. You went over. I'm sorry. You lose.
$1.
If there's more than $1. Seven, that would be
my name is Inigo Montoya. La, 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 la.
Oh, gosh. That's got to be over 15 because he says it so many times when he's...
So, like, if you were going to put a number on this number...
Nine.
I'd say at least 15.
Six.
Nuh-uh.
Six.
No.
True story.
No.
Yes.
He says it, like, six times just in that scene.
The most he ever...
My name is Inigo Montoya.
The most he ever says it is in that fight with Rugen.
Yeah.
And even then, it's only, like, four times.
No.
I wrote it. He says it six.
Well, he says it three other times before that, so that makes seven. So
I didn't count the whole thing. I'm using their website.
Okay, well, they're wrong.
Ooh.
It's way more than that.
You're...
It's gotta be.
Dear Hollywood, you cannot count.
He says it like 45 times in the book.
The Cliffs in the of Insanity are the only part of this movie I remember. And the parts with Columbo and
Columbo?
Eric Savage's brother. Ben Savage's brother.
Fred Savage?
Eric Matthews. Eric Matthews' brother's brother.
I forgot how much they interjected until recently. Like, I knew they interjected quite a few times in the beginning, but I didn't realize farther on that they
did like
a couple more times.
I like
that
a lot.
Too.
And I really like that he's like, you're kissing again. Skip ahead. And then the grandma's like, okay, I'll skip ahead. I don't remember his hair and mustache being this, like, fakely white or his mustache being this fake.
I don't think it looked fake.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, but you don't know who Peter Falk is.
Well, because, like.
Falk. Like a falcon?
Like a falcon.
Yeah.
Like the Millennium.
We're saying the same thing.
Well, it's like, you don't notice things like that because, like, we didn't have HD technology back then, and because of like Blu-ray and all that, and they've been able to like re-render these movies so that they come in with like a better quality, then you're like, holy crap, that's totally a wig.
But like he's easily, I feel like he's old enough to be Fred Savage's real grandpa, so like
without
why are they whiting
extra,
him up?
Yeah, without all that extra.
To make sure you know
and like
he's a grandpa,
not everybody's,
and out
but the mom's like, here's your grandpa. He's like, I'm your grandpa.
This is how
the book.
But this is how like typical, like, stereotypical Hollywood was in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was like, if you're a grandpa, you automatically have to have, like, the wrinkles and the gray hair and the
well,
mustache.
Yeah, because, what's the aunt? Spider-Man's aunt. Aunt May.
Oh, Aunt May.
Everyone's mad that she's, like, 50, but, like, how old do you think a high schooler's aunt is going to be?
Right.
Yeah,
like, I'm completely fine with it. It's what, Marissa Tomei this time around, right?
I love her so much, and I'm so happy she's in it.
And it's like, I don't have a problem with it, because, like... People
she's so
kids.
Good.
People are having kids younger and younger now, but even in, like, the 80s, like, at best, your grandpa's going to be, like, what? When you start out, he's going to be, like, 60, like, in his, like,
yeah,
60s
I remember
whatever,
I was, like,
so.
In middle school, my grandpa hit 60, and I don't feel like my parents had me, like, crazy younger.
Like,
their parents had them crazy
not
young.
Everybody's grandparents are going to have, like, super gray, like, salt and pepper hair, like, they're, like...
I
some
do love
gray faster too, because like my grandpa's white haired and his older brother.
Surrounded by people going gray.
I know people that are like senior year in high school with gray hair. Like,
well, okay, so let's say 25. I would say is like the mid age to have a kid. Yeah.
Okay.
And then if they had their kid at 25, grandpa's 50.
When the kid's born.
Right.
Well, he's only seven.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
he's
the kid's not even 60. So he's like, Marty, we gotta get these kids.
Right. I think that's what everybody assumes when they think grandpa is. You're gonna have like old, crazy Christopher Lloyd with his like bright white hair. Like,
I do.
My grandpa did have bright white hair though.
That's fun.
Like as far back as I can remember, because there's even an old picture where his hair is black. And my mom's like, "Who do you think that is?" I'm like, "I don't know who that is. That's your grandpa." No, it's not.
My granddad's been gray since like the 60s.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you know the hair, but like the wrinkles is a bit excessive.
Well, and I don't know. I love Peter Falk, and I love him in this.
Yeah, me too.
Love him in this. So it's like, to me, he's like, he's Columbo, and then he's the grandpa. But it's like, everything else doesn't matter. Those are the two things I know him as, and he's so good at both of them. Mm-hmm. You know what? Fred Savage was in everything. I don't realize, like, I miss him. We had him in the movie with the
what
mole.
Happened to
Huh?
What happened to him? He's just not.
I think he's behind the camera, probably.
Yeah, I think he's doing like more directorial, more producing, but.
But he did like he was in every other kid's movie, and then he just kind of disappeared for a while. Came back in Austin Powers.
What was he in?
The Quarry.
He's the mole dude.
Yeah.
More. Yeah, it was either.
That's my favorite one.
Fred Savage. I know it is.
My family doesn't rewatch movies, so by the time the sequels come out, that's what
directed
I get to watch.
A lot of TV. A lot of TV.
A lot of his brother stuff too. Like he did quite a bit of like Boy Meets World, and
they were brothers in Little Monsters too.
Yeah,
Eric Matthews. No, the kid.
What?
What was the younger kid?
Ben Savage.
Yeah. What's his name? Matthews.
Corey.
Okay.
That's his brother.
Okay.
Why do I keep saying Eric Matthews? He was so pretty. That dude had like the perfect 90s hair.
He had to.
Oh, he's still in stuff.
He had to be that pretty. He was dating Jennifer Love Hewitt at the time.
I miss her being like an actress instead of like, I'm just hot and therefore famous.
They put me in a scary movie and now I'm everywhere.
I loved those two movies, but then like everything after Heartbreakers has just been garbage. She did that ghost show, but I never watched it.
Yeah. And now there's like another one on. Like, I think CW picked it up, but it's the exact same premise, but it's a male lead instead of a female.
It looks like this is Ben Savage's first, like, big starring role.
Really? Yeah, because he did this, and then he did
It was before the Wonder Years.
Yeah, the Wonder Years.
Which is also on Netflix.
Hell, Wonder Years was a few TV shows later after that, too. Not after what you're saying, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Don't do drugs. Or do drugs. Not a cop. Might be a cop. Columbo, just one more thing. Are you on drugs? What have we not discussed in the movie? The wedding, I don't care for.
The machine.
No. The machine looks like it would crack my back so good. That's all I thought the whole time. I was like, man, that's
it
a good back
like
cracker.
It looks like a medieval form of like the cupping.
Yeah. Like. Yes.
It's just using water pressure to like relieve the tension in your muscles rather than like superheating those fucking cups and then putting them all over your spine.
We go to the mall now and we pay like $40 for this. Yeah. At a table by like Chad.
And
some 20-year-old named Chad.
Some like suction cups and some rubber hoses and a river.
But remember, this took him half a lifetime to create, so this might not be that simple.
Yeah, but half a lifetime could be anything.
It takes 10 years off of you.
Dude, that albino and his herpes is disgusting.
He's creepy.
He's so creepy. The whole time I'm just like, you don't want to pick that or something?
You want some ointment?
Miracle Max, I don't remember him. This is another one. I remember it from Baron Munchausen, because there's a very similar character to this played by Robin Williams. But I mean, I think you're right. I think he was perfect for this. In my head, I know that those were the two big names, and I always remember this being Robin Williams from Baron Munchausen. I don't remember Carol Kane being in this.
She was awesome. Miracle Max's wife.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, I never remember it. But yeah.
And isn't she
Penguin's
delightful. Mom now in the Gotham
she
show?
She was.
Oh, yeah.
She died.
I know that.
Spoilers.
Yes, well, and then fun Creep fact.
That's real big.
Pee Wee Herman played Penguin's dad.
Twice.
I know. He was awesome. Oh, I love that show.
I feel like if Pee Wee Herman was in this movie, he would have been a perfect fit, but I don't know
for what.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe the albino.
Maybe the prince.
I would have loved him as the prince.
He'd have been a better Yellen.
He would have been.
Yellen was good.
He would have been a way better Humperdinck.
He was kind of.
I think he would have been a better Humperdinck.
Useless character.
As long as he didn't do the Pee-wee voice and be like, "I don't want to marry you,
right.
Dottie."
It's Pee-wee, but it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer Pee-wee, where it takes him like 40 minutes to die.
Christopher Guest, we mentioned him a little bit.
Yeah.
So, what do you know him from anything other than this? That's crazy to me. Ugh. Do you?
Christopher Guest.
What do you people do with your lives?
This is
we go outside, we talk to people.
I read books.
That's about it.
I watch other movies.
The Ancient Boer?
Yes.
Rewatching this, other than like the three chuckleheads, the Stooges, she's my favorite character.
Yes.
She's hilarious.
If this movie got remade, that would be who I would want to play.
When she, so I always see that, and people will post a picture or a GIF of her, not a GIF because that's not a thing, and it'll be just her yelling, boo, so I'll send it to people, whatever. I definitely know for a fact that this is from a Monty Python movie, and it's absolutely
not.
It's not. It's not, but I totally know it as being from one. But when she, it's at Life of Brian when they're booing Brian's mom. She's definitely in there. She's not.
Yeah,
she's my spirit animal.
She's my favorite character. She probably has the most fun role to play, I think, in that movie.
End of the movie. What do you think? How do you feel at the end of this movie?
I still feel like Humperdinck should have died.
Why? What did he do other than be like, I need to get married? I'm asking.
Well, he was trying to start a war.
He's going to kill her.
Yeah.
He's going to kill her. So that
after
he can
they're
start
married, she'll be a princess. She'll die a princess.
She'll be a queen.
Eh.
Well, princess because the king hasn't died yet.
Right.
Finalities or whatever. That's not the right word, but you know.
Semantics.
Sure.
Titles.
But he's going to kill her. He was going to have Vizini kill her earlier in the movie.
He's a great person. Have you seen his hair?
Make you a great person.
His hair doesn't.
Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't help when you're plotting to murder an innocent person
and then
go to war
with another country.
Just so you
to
can
kill
conquer
more innocent
them.
Lives.
Just
no, you go to war to kill people because it helps you own more stuff.
He's trying to conquer.
Terrible.
I understand that,
terrible.
But it's still a thing we have going on in our government. It's like modern day thing.
Terrible.
It is terrible. But if you want to make money, you want to make land. Yeah, kill some people. You've got to kill your wife. It's fine. You can get another wife. You're a king.
Well, and especially back then, like, nobody's going to, like, point the finger at the prince. Like, now we have, like, forensics and all that. But, like, if
and even now, people are like, no, it's fine.
Especially since he was like, okay, we'll put the seal of this country in the bed, and it'll look like somebody snuck in and murdered her in her sleep.
Yeah,
like,
you can't.
He goes overboard trying to hide the fact, or to make it look like Gildor does it. Because, like, he's like, I want, you know, 60 men guarding the castle. Well, how are these people going to get in if there's 60 men? If you play this out like,
so like
you're not
you,
really expecting it, then oh my gosh, this
so like
happened.
If you build this giant wall, you're not just going to keep people out. It's fine.
Yeah, basically.
Dude, parallels.
What are we talking about?
Princess Bride.
The Princess Bride.
I've never seen it.
Go away.
You sweet summer child.
Are you talking about the one with the ugly girl who ends up getting like super pretty?
That's
she's
Diaries.
All that.
Oh, no, I've never seen it.
That's every 90s movie.
Right, that's every 90s like teenage rom-com.
Have you seen She's All That?
Why is the movie you guys are talking about?
Yes.
You have to watch it.
You have homework. It's so good.
You have to watch it. We have it on DVD. Go get it.
For five, it's like $7.50.
Oh, it went up. It was $5.
Or $5.
Is it like a Disney movie?
No.
It's wonderful.
No,
there's fencing and fighting.
It's a kissing movie.
It's a kissing
movie.
It's
not a kissing movie. There's like three kisses.
There's fencing.
Columbo's in it and Andre the Giant.
And yeah, Andre's in it.
How old is this movie?
87.
The movie's not 87. It came out in 87.
It's perfect.
The other thing that kind of got glossed over was the reunion between Buttercup and Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this the hill, right?
Yeah, the hill. When they're like fighting with each other on the hill, they're having the argument, and then she slaps
dude had
him.
A broken toe for that if you rewatch.
She slaps him, and then he starts tumbling down the hill, and
she
was like,
him.
I wish you would die or whatever, and then he's as you wish down the hill.
I was so over all the as you wish thing.
But
they only say it, what, three times?
Seven.
Seven?
Seven times.
But
how long had it been between the time that Wesley was abducted when he left to the time that he, like, shows back up?
Oh, yeah. It's 5 years. He's been gone for 5 years.
Nobody has said as you wish and all that
but
time.
No. Like, he's saying like it as an I love you, not as the actual, like, I love you.
I don't feel like a mustache and a mask would fool me.
Right? I feel like I would have recognized his voice.
Not only that, the whole time he's a stable boy, you know what? I'm about to get a little bit on the line. But dude has got a remarkable chin, and I was staring at it. So I guarantee if she's in love with his eyes like that, she notices that chin.
And how does she not notice his eyes? Like, the mask has holes on it. And
how
he
is supposed to see?
He is so mean to her.
Yeah, I like
that
it.
Whole thing.
I like
it's
it.
Terrible.
But it's honest, though. Like, it's not that he's being mean. It's like
he about hits her at one point.
Nah,
he
knew what she was. He knew what he was doing. Yeah, he threatened to hit her, but you can threaten people all day long.
No.
As long as you don't break the law, you're fine.
He's the appropriate amount of mean for that situation. Because in his mind, he hears that she's going to marry the prince.
You were dead for 5 years.
Okay, but like
she doesn't love him.
So you're going to marry somebody you don't love rather than just
right.
be like...
That's his whole point
morning.
Is like...
He threatens to kill her.
Yeah.
It's not in the movie. It's in the book. But he threatens to kill her if she does... That's their alternative.
That's
marry
fine.
Me or I kill you. So, yeah, you marry him.
Or I'm fine with dude being cranky with her because he hasn't seen her in 5 years either. Just saying.
It's yeah.
Great
it
first
goes
impression.
Both ways, but like...
It worked
whole,
out for
like,
him, didn't
he's,
it?
He's tumbling down the hill, and he's
a movie.
How is
it
he
works
supposed
out in
to
a
know?
Movie.
Nah, you can be mean to people in real life, and it works out.
How is he supposed to know that while tumbling down the hill, the as you wish is going to Oh my god, that's...
Because that's what he says to her. That's their
but
thing.
Five years.
That's their thing.
Five years.
It's totally their thing.
5 years being separated from someone. Like, that is a long, long distance relationship right there. Like, how is he, like, he
because
can't just assume
that... Because
they have
true love.
Nah, true that love's made up by Hallmark.
Yeah, they've got for blame.
Hallmark doesn't go
for
well.
For blame.
Liar!
You kids and your movies.
I love this movie, and I love quoting this movie.
I love when you quote this movie pretending I don't know what movie you're quoting.
I hate it when you don't. When you pretend that you don't know what this movie is.
I love
that. I give you
the three of us together have started quoting various movies at inappropriate times. Like, not even just this movie, but just, like, movies
yeah.
in general. Because we do a lot of faw sounds now. Like, way too many to be appropriate.
Like, I feel like there's no way people in 2017 should be quoting the past. Like, I get Princess Bride is older, but it's considered a classic. And then there's, like, the past.
Nacho
because
Libre.
Like
Nacho Libre is a classic.
Is it a classic? There's,
yeah.
Is it old enough to be a classic?
It takes like 14 minutes to become a classic.
Nobody really did like sword fights. Like yeah, it was a thing.
I miss it in movies.
It was a thing. Like good sword fights. Like yeah. We really haven't had a good sword fight.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Like the first one. I think
the closest thing to it is
there.
Like lightsabers. And to me,
and
everybody tells me the prequels had amazing ones, but it all looks like stage fighting where they're like, make sure all you do is hit swords.
No, that's basically all it is. Like,
well,
right.
Because it's a lightsaber, and if you actually touch the guy with one, you kind of win.
No, I'm saying
that's
to the
it.
Actors. When they tell the actors, okay, no matter what, it looks too choreographed. It's
too
clean.
Okay.
That's kind of the point for the prequels, because remember, like, Obi-Wan tells Luke when he first gets the lightsaber, we're going off on a tangent,
we're
that
it's a tangent show.
This is a more elegant weapon for a more elegant time, which would have been, like, that's all... the Sith or the Jedi used was lightsabers. So, like, their battles would have been more epic because that's the only weapon they ever use. So, like, they're going to do all those stunts and tricks and whatnot. Like, that's why Luke's battles with Vader's look so, like if you were sword fighting with, like, your brother, you're, like, if you out there with,
is
like, a
like
stick.
Is it more
like
how Inigo took, you know, 10 years to learn all these different techniques and stuff? That's why it looks so choreographed, because they're actually fighting, you know, in a certain
style. Well, no,
style,
and that's what I'm saying. I don't feel
versus
like it
looked
too...
if I just came at you with a sword and we tried to, you know, prairie
it's
back.
It's
kind
of like,
yeah, and in this, I feel like they were comparing each other. I feel like this was on purpose.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This feels way better to me than 20 years later in the prequels. The prequels
okay.
felt way too choreographed, whereas this felt like
point.
People proving... this is how well I know my craft. I unless you have anything, I'm going to try to wrap us up a bit. How would you rate this movie?
I give it a 4 out of 5 RUSs that should totally been able to defeat with a stick and not fall over like a dork.
So I remember her being a princess forever, just going off on this.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's totally not a princess, like you're saying. She should absolutely know how to
she
defend herself a little
farm.
Bit.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Put some muscle behind that.
Like, what did she do in the 5 years... since Wesley like disappeared,
she
like
worked.
How did she?
Well, after she.
I mean, she didn't have anybody getting pictures for her, so.
Mm-hmm.
Bulldog, where would you rate this movie?
I would do a 4 out of 5, Fezzix. Like if we're doing. Just because, like I said, when I first saw this movie, I was 7 years old, and like I've been a huge wrestling fan my entire life, and the only reason why I saw this movie to begin with was Andre the Giant. And then I absolutely, like, fell in love with this movie.
I almost asked you just now, who is Hugh Dressling? Because you were a huge wrestling fan as a kid. And I was like, who is that?
You have homework to do then.
Oh, that leaves me. Where would I rate this? I would rate this, like, a 3. Are you sure that this was not Baron Munchausen? And, like, maybe the DVD got it wrong? Because I'm pretty sure I remember this correctly. And maybe I don't. 4 out of 5.
3?
That's right.
3?
3's I liked it.
All right.
3's barely over 50%.
So here's how we do it. It's I hated it. I didn't like it. I liked it. I loved it. Oh my god. I'm going to make digital babies with it. It's the actual scale. But no, I mean, it was fine. I put this, and I know you don't like it that I say this, I put this right next to Neverending Story. But I didn't read either one.
Neverending Story is... disappointing.
It
the book
is.
Is so good.
Right, but we're talking about movies.
And I promise I don't have a book for every movie we talk about,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, it seems like you do.
What did we watch last time?
We did comics last time, so...
What was it?
We did Wonder Woman.
That's right.
So you guys went off on comics for a while there, which I felt bad because I didn't have any input.
No, you don't have to, because just like me, I've never read this book. And on that note, may the filk be with you. Nah, I don't say that. He says that. On that note, go filk yourself.